All right. Got a big night ahead of us. Coast to Coast AM with Ian Punnett. We'll do a little housekeeping thing here right out of the box and just tell you that our guest, who was originally scheduled for tonight, a doctor who has written a book called Zombie Autopsies, will be rescheduled. Truly looking forward to that. But with the size of Hurricane Irene coming up the East Coast, and perhaps more alarmingly, the slow speed of Hurricane Irene, and with all of the storm surge that might come along with it, we just thought it'd be better if we changed directions tonight on Coast to Coast and brought you regular updates as to what is happening, and also some guests along the way to make you wonder about what is happening tonight on Coast to Coast. Also, another housekeeping issue. Thank you to all of those of you, all of you Coasties out there who stepped up and made a contribution for me. I was locked in an RV for 53 hours this week at the Minnesota State Fair as a fundraiser, my wife and I and seven other radio personalities. And thank you for doing whatever you could do on that. I know that many of you either saw it on the Facebook page or heard about it, and I appreciate you stepping up and ended up helping a lot for the Ronald McDonald House, which, of course, does terrific work for families in crisis. And crisis is what a lot of families are in right now. Hurricane Irene is moving slowly toward New York City. It's still not a high category in terms of wind speed, but that's not all that defines what a hurricane can do. And we'll get an expert look at what this hurricane is looking like at this hour coming up with veteran meteorologist John Coleman. But let me just make you this promise up front. We'll have the lines open throughout the night. We're going to set up a special hurricane hotline, an Eye of the Hurricane hotline. We'll give you the number for that so that if you're in the middle of it, if you're calling while this great big storm is huffing and puffing and trying to blow your house down, we'll be on the air with you too. And for those of you who are afraid, Coast to Coast will be like a lighthouse for you to reckon by until dawn. And for those of you who are alone, we will be that trusted friend or loyal dog at your side, even if you should find some sleep tonight. And for those of you who are confused about what is happening, we will be a reliable source of information. And for those of you, no matter where you are in this country tonight, if you are bored, we will keep you entertained and distracted from this storm that is enveloping the East Coast even as we speak. And we will be there with you until the all clear signal can be sounded. We'll get to all of this coming up, and we'll start off first with some quick facts on this storm and then some very interesting perspectives throughout the night, including your calls. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. Well, many of you around the country know John Coleman as the founder of the Weather Channel, and its earliest days go back into the early 80s. I know John Coleman from when I was a kid and I grew up in the Chicago area, and John Coleman was the consummate, funny, kind of goofy weather guy on Channel 7. We are talking about the same John Coleman, aren't we, John?
Hello, Ian. Nice to be with you, and hello to all your listeners coast to coast. You all do a great job of helping people through the night. And for those people who are in the heavy rain and the strong winds on the East Coast, gosh, I wish I were there with you. I've been through a few hurricanes, and it's an exciting thing for a meteorologist to be
in
the heart of one of nature's greatest shows.
Well, I just, when they said I had a chance to talk to John Coleman, I'm not just happy to do that, but of course, immediately I have these happy memories of back in the days when news anchors all wore matching blazers on TV.
Well, yes, at ABC in Chicago, that came with the contract, but you understand they were paying us big money, so I had no problem putting on their light blue blazer and their Circle 7 pin.
I thought you looked good.
It was a great time in my life. I was on with a great icon in Chicago, Floyd Calber, and Fahey Flynn was on.
Right.
Joel Daly. It was a beautiful time.
Well, and thank you so much for giving us some time tonight. So let's run some numbers on this storm. As of right now, Hurricane Irene, that's heading up the East Coast, still hovering in the Category 1 as a hurricane goes, but what of the things that come along with that, what are you worried about and what aren't you worried about as it continues toward New York City and other cities along the coast on the way?
Well, it's a slow moving storm, so accumulated rainfall will be the main issue, I think, and flooding from that rainfall. I don't think this is a weak hurricane. 80-mile-an-hour winds, that's just 5 miles over minimum hurricane force.
Right.
So this isn't much of a hurricane, and by the time it gets to New York City, I personally expect it will diminish to a tropical storm. But it is producing huge rainfall, and that area, particularly the New York City area, has had a rainy, rainy August, and they're saturated. So they're going to have a lot of flooding, and that will be the main issue. The winds will not be as significant. I mean, a Category 1 storm or a tropical storm, right now the hurricane-force winds extend out, oh, maybe 100 miles to the east of the eye of the storm, but the eye is right on the coast, just off of Ocean City, Maryland. And with the eye out there, the storm is rubbing up against the coast there, and all that friction of the wind blowing across the land as opposed to the sea really weakens it. And so on land, I think the winds are probably not going to be any more than 50 to 60 miles an hour sustained, and 75 to so in gust. There'll be some trees down, particularly because it's so wet that all the trees, the rooting
sure.
systems are saturated, and they'll come down pretty easily. So we're going to prune a lot of trees. We're going to tear up a lot of porch roofs. We're going to knock down some flimsy towers, construction projects, power lines, that sort of thing. But I want people to understand this is not like Andrew or Katrina. It is not a major disaster. I forecast Katrina, and believe me, Irene is no Katrina.
Well, that's good news, but in a lot of ways, Katrina was no Katrina. I mean, some of the biggest... the aspect of Katrina that we think about the most, the flooding of New Orleans, that came in even though New Orleans didn't get quite the direct hit.
Exactly right, of course.
Right.
Katrina, however, was a Category 5 shortly before it came ashore.
Right, and then it was a 3 when it actually hit.
Came ashore. But if the Congress had authorized the money that had been requested by the Corps of Engineers to build the proper dams and levees in New Orleans, the city wouldn't have flooded, and it would not have been a classic disaster. You're absolutely right. This was primarily, of course, it's folly to locate a city below sea level.
Right.
Assuming that we'd already done that.
Let's take that off the table because that ship sailed, so we're there. But
the Corps of Engineers knew that they needed a lot more levee work there to protect themselves from the flooding of one of these hurricanes. And they tried to get the money, and Congress, in its ultimate wisdom, decided to do other things with the money. And so New Orleans really got trashed. Now,
let me ask you a question
City,
about...
I think this is just the opposite.
Okay.
Because of Katrina, we've had this huge overreaction. And in New York City... particularly, I think they have way overreacted. This is going to be an average hurricane at worst, and probably a tropical storm when it gets there. And I just don't think it's going to be as sure as an Armageddon. I'll tell you that. Everybody in New York, I think you'll be fine.
Well, we're hoping for that. Now, but how does it time out in terms of the tides? The storm surge coming in, and when the majority—I mean, just if you could do the math for this—and when they vector together with the morning,
here's the deal: with a Category 1 hurricane or a tropical storm, your storm surge, even in the most favored inlets, can't be more than 7 or 8 feet. And I think here we're going to have storm surge along the south shore of Long Island and along the south shore of Connecticut and Rhode Island of 4, 5, or 6 feet. Well, they get high tides in that category a couple of times a year. And this is not a monster.
Okay.
There's going to be some coastal flooding. There's going to be some beach erosion. There's going to be some damage. But I just want everybody to understand that this is not the wrath of God.
Oh, sure. And I don't, we're certainly not selling it that way. So, but just to like time it out. So
when you're alone, if you aren't, because, you name a network, from the big three to the cable networks, the news channels and the weather channel, my gosh, this has been covered like the end of the earth.
Well, that helped me just so I understand though, when the storm surge comes, it will be about what time do we think, what time of day would do you think they'll start getting the highest amount of the storm surge?
The height of the storm surge should be on Long Island at about 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And the height of the storm surge probably be on the south shore of Connecticut, I would say around, I'm talking East Coast times.
Sure.
10:30 or 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. I frankly haven't checked the tide times there. Probably should have, but I didn't think to look at them.
That's all right. I haven't heard anybody mention Philadelphia. And then what's the latest you think about Boston?
Well, Boston is going to be way off the track, and by the time the storm gets up there, it will have lost all punch.
Okay.
And so, and it's going to miss Boston by 150 miles. It's going to go over the western, the west central portion of Massachusetts. So I don't see Boston or Cape Cod getting a huge hit from it. Certainly, Cape Cod will get a lot of waves and a lot of wind. But Boston gets some rain and wind, but not the biggest deal in the world. As for Philadelphia, it's a rainstorm mostly. And I don't see Philadelphia getting hammered particularly by this.
Okay. But it still looks like New York then, and maybe Hudson River Valley, that area where they've gotten some bad flooding in the past, ground already saturated, slow-moving storm. We're still looking at probably the greatest damage or the greatest potential loss of life then might be coming with some of these floods.
Well, I would think so, yeah.
Okay.
If people are not prudent in their dealing with that, and certainly people who live right on water's edge should have moved inland at this point or to a higher point, or people who live down by the river should have picked up and taken the pickup truck and probably headed for San Diego to be neighbors of mine.
You're in a good place. John Coleman, it's good to hear your voice again, and I'm glad to hear you're well. And so many fond memories of you as the weatherman of record as I was growing up. And thank you for giving us the time tonight.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you, John Coleman, also then founder of the Weather Channel. And we will continue to watch this storm as we go along. You just heard him say that with the storms come a certain amount of common sense, and people in low-lying areas should get out of lying low, and people that are along the coastal areas, once you've battened down the hatches, you might want to skedaddle. If you're in New York and you're in an area where that might be affected by that, they were encouraging evacuations. I heard somewhere in the area of 376,000 people were being evacuated out of the New York area. Just the other day, we were talking to Howard Bloom, who's one of our favorite authors here on Coast to Coast. Let's bring up Howard, if we could, on Coast to Coast. Hey, Howard.
Ian, it is good to talk to you. I was listening to you with John, and there's a fine line between calm and complacency. There's an important balance between reason and going overboard and thinking everything's okay. We've been sitting here in New York all day waiting for a storm that hasn't really come. We've had a lot of rain, but only in the last hour or so. It's been a mild, pleasant, mildly rainy and damp day. But the fact is that every once in a while, we have these major weather catastrophes that just defy belief. We had one in 1938, and in Boston's case, it took entire ships and it heaved them out of the harbor and left them half a mile inland. It devastated Long Island. And it's very easy to get complacent. We have a mayor here who has been saying all day long, it's better safe than sorry. And he is right, because as you pointed out, in New Orleans, the storm alone did not produce the catastrophe. It was a chain of events. The failure of levees, the failure of a dike, the emptying of a lake. And you can't predict those things. And you can't predict that kind of chain of events by simply knowing the weather. And John obviously knows the weather extremely well. But I've seen my neighbors proceeding as if everything is perfectly fine here. But there were lessons we learned this year. I mean, we learned, for one thing, from in the last 5 or 6 years, we learned from Katrina, everything looked so normal and calm right. in New Orleans when the weather forecasters were showing us that storm system, the satellite pictures of this great big whirling spiral over the Gulf of Mexico. And it was extremely hard to believe that anything was really going to happen to a city we'd all grown up with,
right.
New Orleans. And then what happened over the course of the next couple of weeks? Absolute devastation.
And I remember that night very well because I was on the air that night. We were watching it very closely. We'd been talking about it, and we had seen that it had gotten downgraded from a Cat 5 headed right at New Orleans to a Category 3 that looked like it was just going to give sort of a glancing blow to New Orleans and was going to move into at least lesser populated areas, not to say that, you know, the world can live without Passe Christiane or Biloxi or any of these other fine cities along the Gulf, but they were at least less populated than New Orleans. And that fear of New Orleans flooding seemed to have passed when it passed New Orleans. And then it just got this right hook just came. And we knew that, you know, hours after we thought everything was going to be okay, it wasn't. And so, once you start tripping some dominoes on a hurricane, you never quite know where it's going to end up. Now, let me ask you, I heard you, Howard Bloom, you snuck off to a shelter today. Were they telling you where you should go in Brooklyn? You live in Brooklyn. So where were they telling you to go?
I went to a school about half a mile away from here, a little more like 3/4 of a mile away from there. One thing to know, Ian, last September, I was sitting in a Madison Avenue restaurant in Manhattan with my manager. We were having lunch, and I got a panicked call from my assistant at the house saying that our, our skylight had just been ripped off. And it had been ripped off the roof, and I didn't believe her. Ian, I absolutely did not believe her. Well, that day, we had a tornado in Brooklyn. I've lived in Brooklyn since 1965. There's never been a tornado in Brooklyn, period. This is the first tornado I've ever heard of in Brooklyn. And guess whose house it headed directly for?
No.
It skipped over all the houses down the hill and all the houses up the hill, and it took our house smack in the middle. And one of the lessons that I learned from that is your windows can explode, your windows can implode. If they're carried even by a 45-mile-per-hour wind, those shards of glass can be as dangerous as bullets. They can tear you apart, and it is never wise to be too complacent. On the other hand, it's never wise to be too alarmist, because look at the amount of cost that New York is laying out.
Well, real quickly, tell me what happened when you went to the shelter, though. I just don't want to run out of time.
I went to the shelter, and they sent me to a room for a single man up on the fourth floor. And when I saw the single man I was in with, Ian, I realized I'd be far safer at home than I would with these single men. I would not have been able to leave my bags there, even to go to the bathroom.
It didn't feel good about it.
Yeah, it would have been very – I mean, remember, the first casualty in New York City announced by the mayor this afternoon – the first casualty of a hurricane was a man who went up on a ladder to cover his windows and fell off the ladder.
Oh.
And the mayor was saying he didn't even know if the man was going to live because of his injuries.
Well, gosh.
So even care, even caution can create problems.
Well, Howard Bloom, 3 books, The Genius of the Beast, Global Brain, Lucifer Principle, a frequent guest, now also then locked down tight in your house in Brooklyn with the storm coming, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
But you're on high ground. I've been following your tweets. You're not in any danger of flooding where you are.
The flooding zones, the evacuation zones, start just a block down the street from my street. So we're evacuation zones.
Okay, closer than I even thought.
Right.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Howard. Always good to hear from you.
Have a wonderful night. Talk to you again soon.
I'm having a wonderful night indeed. Thank you. In fact, looking out here my window, I see stars and a nice light breeze. But we know it's not that way for people who are up and down the East Coast. And depending on where you are, you might be in the middle of this hurricane. So we're going to put up this number here in just a second. We'll take the international line, and we're going to use that for the Eye of the Hurricane hotline. We'll also be doing open lines throughout the night, and it doesn't have to be about the weather or hurricanes, about anything. But we'll do open lines throughout the night, but we are going to check in regularly with some other guests on this story as it's developing, staying fluid. One of the reasons why we canceled our guest tonight, our main guest was going to be the author of The Zombie Autopsies, is because he had been evacuated from New York, and he was only on a cell phone, kind of on the run from Hurricane Irene, as it were. So we'll schedule him for another night coming up soon. So we'll give you all the numbers you need, open lines in the meantime. We'll be talking a little hurricane. In fact, I want to check on those ships at sea so we don't have another perfect storm on the way. We'll check in with our friend Captain Kelly Sweeney for a few minutes next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. So, you know, appropriate to play Ride in the Storm out, not just because that's what we're going to do tonight on Coast to Coast, and we'll do it together, but also because Howard Bloom, who we just had on talking about what's going on in New York, used to be their publicity manager for REO Speedwagon before he got into being an economist. And REO Speedwagon is, in fact, talking about a winter storm. This is not one. This is a summer storm. And the one that's coming up the East Coast right now may put you in the middle of something that may have more to do with flooding and or with tree damage. I think most of the deaths that have occurred so far have happened as a result of falling trees, except for one 55-year-old surfer who decided to go out in this storm. I know that there's this surfer mentality that says I can handle it and that, oh, I've seen worse and these waves are nothing, but it seems like every year a storm will come like that, and every year somebody will try to hang 10 on one and end up getting hung up themselves. So please use caution. This storm is going to be with us for 24 hours yet. I know that they've canceled all the flights coming in and out of New York for yesterday. At least that's what I was told. That may not be true, because I had some friends who were scheduled to go in and out of New York this weekend and had to cancel. There will be much more of a hassle factor to this, perhaps, than a death threat, but it's still something we should take seriously. And we look forward to keeping a line open for you. If you're in the eye of the hurricane, we'll have an eye of the hurricane hotline. I've been through two hurricanes, Hurricane Gloria and Hurricane Charley, broadcasting through each of those. Hurricane Charley dropped down to tropical storm just before it hit us, and yet it still did a lot of damage. Hurricane Gloria was pretty scary because I was underneath this giant radio tower at the time. The studios were right underneath this huge tower, and that tower was swaying back and forth. It'll really get your attention. So no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, we'll be there with it through you and through all of the other guests who will have calling, like Captain Kelly Sweeney, who's going to talk about the ships out at sea right now to make sure that everybody is safe there. And then we'll start getting to your calls coming up on Coast to Coast. It's Ian Punnett. All right, let's bring up Captain Kelly Sweeney, who is a well-known mariner here on Coast to Coast and somebody who's been through a few storms in his life. And then we'll get to some open line calls between now and the top of the hour, and we'll keep tracking Hurricane Irene when we need to. Captain Kelly Sweeney, how are you this evening?
Ahoy, Ian. It's great being back with you and all the Coast listeners.
Always a pleasure. So the average sea captain, I mean, somebody who's watching for this type of a storm, they knew better than to get caught in this area in the first place a long time ago, I'm assuming.
Well, in general, yes. I mean, the bottom line is for mariners, if your ship is at sea, you want to keep away from the hurricane. And that's what is in your mind all the time. How do I keep away from that hurricane?
Right. So they saw this one developing kind of slowly. It's been moving fairly slowly. We shouldn't have this time tomorrow any reports, or at least hopefully won't have any reports of any ships sinking out at sea, because they would be able to have gotten away from this, even though it's a pretty wide storm.
Well, hurricanes quite often will have the overall range of them, it could be 1,000 miles. I mean, not
sure.
Just the eye, but I mean the overall extent of the hurricane.
Exactly.
But in general, there's two things. If your vessel's in port, In general, you want to get out at sea, but you want to get out there in a timely manner. You don't want to get out at sea just in time to meet the hurricane at the mouth of the harbor. But you want to get out. Like, for example, the Navy has 38 ships that were in Norfolk. Before Irene made landfall, they moved all those ships out of the port of Norfolk, and they are now about, oh, give or take, around 300 miles off the coast right now, monitoring what that hurricane is doing, which is probably going to be following the Gulf Stream up the coast as far as before it starts running out of energy. If you're on a ship at sea, we have various techniques to get away from the hurricane, and so we monitor the winds. They're probably the best indicator of what that hurricane is doing. The barometer, we listen to the weather reports, of course, and talk to other mariners who might be closer to that, the eye of the hurricane or the dangerous area of the hurricane, and finding out what's going on with them.
And so right now, again, with all of that then information and all of that help, maybe with the exception of some pleasure boaters or somebody else that had been, for reasons which we can't know, almost everybody's going to have enough warning that they shouldn't be in the path of that. And that includes, you know, military ships. Everybody else is going to know to steer clear of that. And yet, at the same time, we also know that some of these hurricanes, you know, have a tendency to spurn tornadoes, too, out of that. And well, that becomes like a whole other factor.
Well, the thing is about hurricanes, Ian, is that they don't, I mean, they're erratic to a certain point. I mean, there's been more than one mariner who's made a mistake by making a call thinking that the hurricane's going to go around one the island. Let's say I had a good friend who had to face a hurricane. He had to make a decision. Did he want to take Cuba on his way up to the East Coast on the outside or the inside? Because it was going to make a big difference on where that hurricane hit. He made the right choice in his case, but there are other mariners who make the wrong choice. But even when they look at all the you know, they try to make a schedule, or they got to make another port, or you know, they're in a big hurry. They got to pick up some cargo somewhere. That you know, they might make the wrong decision. And you know, when you're on a ship in a hurricane, Ian, it's a terrifying situation.
I mean,
all you hear is the wind howling through the halyards. You feel the pounding of the waves constantly. I mean, you're getting hammered one after another with these mountainous waves, and you're just doing everything you can to, you know, just to survive. I mean, no one eats, no one sleeps, no one goes out on deck. I mean, you know, if you go out on deck in a hurricane, those waves will wash you overboard, instant death. We dog Yep. everything down and hang out inside and keep one hand at least for us, because there's handrails everywhere on the ship and we're all holding on. Just to get up two decks down or a deck down up to the wheelhouse is a major effort. I mean, you've got to time your steps just right. You kind of ride it out when it's coming down hard on
right.
one side, and then you take advantage of it when it's coming back up, and you get as many stairs as you can in on the way up. And you hold on anything, and it's noisy not only because of the wind, because everything's crashing. If, you
sure.
know, if you don't have everything tied down, it's moving.
Right.
And that means cargo. That means utensils in the galley. That means computers. I won't tell you how many computers I've seen lost at sea. Expensive.
I bet. Flying across the room. How many hurricanes do you think you've been through, Captain Kelly?
I was in Aniki, and which was off the coast of Hawaii. And I was in a couple others in the Gulf. I can't remember their names off the top of my head, but I've been in three total, and I've been in hurricane-force winds a number of times. And the worst one was we had 60-foot seas. This was off the Aleutian Islands in the North Pacific. We had 60-foot seas and gusts to 130 knots, 130 miles, a little over 130
wow.
miles an hour. It was one thing you do not want to do in a hurricane situation. You don't want to get the ship to where the waves and the winds are broadside to that ship coming in at you on the side.
Sure.
You want to either have them on your stern, on your quarter, if you're you know, to head out, or if you're in a bad position, you want to just kind of have, you know, face into them, maybe have the waves 45 degrees off and just kind of try to maintain.
Right.
You know, so you're in hand steering. You're doing everything you can to maintain control of that vessel. And we were on a car carrier. And the third mate lost control of the vessel up on his watch. We got turned broadside, And one of those 60-foot waves hit us, wham, it hit us. It hit us so hard, it buckled the hull. Like, you know, like a soda pop can.
Right.
It's the way you feel in a hurricane on a ship, a tin can being shaken all over.
Sure.
You know, it buckled the hull like a soda can when you're done with your fist in the middle, or your hand in the middle there. It buckled the hull, started moving back and forth. I got in my survival suit. I was the second mate. I got in my survival suit, and I was ready to evacuate the ship. I mean, and the
right.
engineers went down there ready to weld plate on, and I mean, it was a dire situation.
Well, glad you made it through, and let's hope that all of the ships at sea are helmed by able-bodied seamen such as yourself, and look forward to getting the all clear in the morning that everybody was safe. But right now, we don't know for sure, and thank you so much for giving us your time. Always a pleasure. Captain Kelly Sweeney on Coast to Coast. God bless you.
God bless you. Glad to be on with you, and my best to all the listeners.
Terrific. And coming up, if we need to, we'll give you a call back if we find out more. Right now, we are getting reports of another story related to this, which hasn't come up except because we mentioned Katrina earlier, and that's a potential dam failure. And that is in Maryland, as I understand it. I don't have all the details on it, but it is something which is being checked out as we speak. There are still a lot of people who are at the in their greatest risk for life and limb from falling trees. And there's a lot of that, as you may have heard earlier in the hour from John Coleman, one of the founders of the Weather Channel, an experienced meteorologist. And he says, you know, with all this soft earth out there from previous rains in the East Coast area, a lot of trees are going to be coming down tonight. They don't have hard ground to hang on to. There's already been a lot of saturation, and with that means much more runoff coming faster, and that means flash floods, and that means be very careful out there. We'll keep you updated throughout the night. We're doing open lines. We scrubbed our guests because of the storm. We wanted to stay flexible, but we will do open lines, and it doesn't have to be about the storm. Let's grab Wayne in Halifax, Pennsylvania, though, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast. Wayne?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you holding up?
All right. It's raining pretty good here.
Yeah, it's not a great line, so let's make this short just because it's got kind of a ring to it.
Well, I was going to say, I just zoomed in one time.
Oh, now I can't hear you at all, I'm afraid. I'm afraid it's gone. Sorry about that, Wayne. Hope you're going to be okay in Halifax. And then David, who I'm assuming is out of harm's way in Boise, Idaho tonight. First-time caller line. David?
Good evening. Hi.
Evening.
I am in Boise. I've been here about 20 years, but I did grow up on the East Coast. And I saw something yesterday on the news that I found a bit troubling. I wondered if maybe you or some of your listeners could respond to it.
Tell me about it.
I'm a former private detective, so I only mention that because I have kind of a suspicious nature. I saw the president, excuse me, and all the governors and the mayors talking about this situation. But yesterday it was a Category 2 storm, and I hear it may be down to a 1 now.
Right.
So why all the mandatory evacuations and all of the major hoopla in the media about something that's basically a mild tropical storm? I just find it very odd.
Well, actually, that's not true. It's not a mild tropical storm. At Category 1, it's above a tropical storm. So it may, in fact, when it hits land, it may be not much. You're right. It could easily be that way. But it won't be a mild tropical storm. It'll be a severe tropical storm in an area where a lot of people don't get, landfall of a hurricane very often. Your point is that they shouldn't prepare?
No, not that they shouldn't prepare. It just somehow seemed to be overdone, and I do have a bit of a suspicious mind, and if I'm leaning into the kooky scale a little bit, I don't mind being corrected. I do remember being in some pretty crazy storms in the Connecticut area where I grew up, and I've seen the trees come down, and I've seen the power go out, but I'm also watching a lot of harm that may take place to something that may not be as severe as they say, the harm being people shutting down businesses and running away at a time when they really need their money, and possibly it won't be that bad.
So you think, this is the part where it gets a little, I'm trying to sort out what you're saying. You're saying that maybe the businesses should just stay open and they should stay there in the thought that it may not be as bad as they think it is. Isn't that how people end up usually, and I'm just saying usually from these things, isn't that how they usually end up dying? As they say, it's not going to be as bad as they say. And then it's kind of like that 55-year-old surfer who goes out surfing on it. Most of the times, you won't die, but sometimes you will. So
I can agree with that to a point, but I'm also seeing the factors that we have some credible people out there who will say, well, it's category X or category Y, and so we go by that. And I look at something that's an 80-mile-an-hour wind versus 130-mile-an-hour wind, and
right.
And I'm just somehow seeing, again, maybe I'm going into the kooky scale here, but I'm somehow seeing that maybe could this be some kind of a test run to see if people are being highly or could be manipulated to do something the government wants, or is it a knee-jerk reaction because of all the major screw-up in the Katrina situation, and they're overreacting now? It just seems a little off-scale to me somehow.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if anybody else sees it besides myself.
Well, you know, David, you live in Idaho, so I live in Minnesota, so I'm sure you, like me, see this all the time when it comes to a winter storm. And there'll be a winter storm advisory, then there's a winter storm watch, and then there's a winter storm warning. And, you know, I mean, you can always make the point that there's a very good chance you're going to survive any winter storm warning. But there's lots of people who just decide that they're going to go driving after all, or they're going to go out and, you know, they're going to drive through the ice storm because they're not going to be told that there's anything to be worried about. I think it's government job for whatever that is in this case to give people their worst case scenario. You're free, man. These people are free. They can decide whether or not they're going to follow it or not. I hope they do. I hope they take the better safe than sorry route myself. But that's because even though we might get 6 winter storm watches, or even maybe 6, maybe half a dozen or so winter storm warnings, we still pay attention to them here in the upper Midwest when weather is barreling down. What else are you going to do? You're just going to keep thumbing your nose at it? I think sometimes you get caught with that. But people have free will, you're right, David, and maybe they'll choose to ignore it, and maybe nothing bad will happen, and maybe that's the size of it. Michael is in Los Angeles on Coast to Coast. Michael?
Hello.
Hey.
Well, let me do a little history lesson here.
Oh, goody. Well, we only have a couple minutes, so just be careful.
Okay, I'll go fast. 62, we throw God out of school. That breaks the first commandment. Scripture says anybody that prevents children coming unto me should have a millstone tied around their neck and be cast into the sea. Well, I think the United States of America is experiencing just that. We are, since 62, we've had this Vietnam War that we won 3 times, and the politicians threw it back every time. We have disaster after disaster following us, and 9/11 was exactly 40 years after we threw God out of school. See, God gives you about 40 years to get your act together, and then he gets tired and he lets you have it.
Okay. Well, so I got to jump in here just because we got other people here who want to get on.
Well,
let me just ask you real quickly. We have two minutes for the call. So you're saying we wouldn't be getting hurricanes if people were still saying prayers in public schools?
Well, Scripture says that when...
I'm asking you.
I'm giving you an answer. Scripture says that nature will turn against those who offend God and his laws. I mean, we wouldn't be getting so hammered. We would have some storms, but as I say, we're getting hammered, and we got hammered on 9/11. We've got this stinking war going on that goes from country to country and never stops,
okay.
And our enemies are all around us.
Okay.
Somebody better start waking up.
All right. Well, thank you, Michael, for that point of view. You and I will disagree, and I know that a lot of Christians out there will disagree on this, but I don't think we have the power to kick God out of school. So I think God stayed right there in schools, right where God belongs, with kids. I don't think God abandoned children. I think just because public schools stopped saying prayers, it didn't mean that kids can't say prayers. I prayed all the way through my public school years, usually just before a test and heavily. And I'm a big believer that we don't have the power to kick God out of anywhere. And I believe that God is with those people tonight. And I hope that wherever you are tonight, you will be safe. And if you're in the path of this hurricane, we We're gonna save for you the international line tonight for be the eye of the hurricane hotline, and you can jump in there and grab that coming up. Also on the way, we're gonna talk to Stan Deo about this weather situation and his perspective as a frequent guest here on Coast to Coast. And then, you know, maybe this storm is in the stars. We'll talk more about that, too, coming up next hour on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Ponet.